In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, O Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Entry number 93. February 26, 1930, from Volume 28. After that, I continued my round in the divine fiat. Arriving to Eden, I lingered in thinking about the exchange of love between God and innocent Adam, on how the divinity, not finding any impediment on man's part, poured forth itself by torrents upon him, and with his love enraptured man to himself with sweet attractions, letting man hear his voice, all sweetness telling him, "Son, I love you. I love you so much." And Adam, wounded and raptured by the eternal love, repeated his refrain, "I love you, I love you," and throwing himself in the arms of his Creator, he held himself so tightly to him that he could not detach himself from the only love he knew, and loving him was his only reason for living. While my mind was lost in this exchange of love between God and the creature, my sweet Jesus, all goodness, said to me, "My daughter, what a sweet memory is the creation of man. He was happy, and we were happy as well. We felt the fruit of happiness of our work. We felt such pleasure in loving him and in being loved back. Our divine will conserved him fresh and beautiful for us, and carrying him on its arms of light, it made us contemplate how beautiful it was, the work we created by us, our dear son. We held him as a son in our house, in our interminable goods, and consequently, being our son, he acted as the owner. It would have been against the nature of our love not to have the one whom we love so much and who loved us behaving like the owner. In true love, there is not yours and mine, but everything is in common. And then no bad came to us by making him like the owner. Rather, we rejoiced. He made us smile. He amused us. He gave us the beautiful surprises of our own very goods. Furthermore, how could he not have been the owner if he possessed our divine will that rules over everything and dominates everything? By not making him owner, we would have had to put our will in slavery, which was not possible to happen. No slavery exists where our will reigns, but everything is ownership. Therefore, for as long as man lived in our divine fiat, he didn't know slavery. When man sinned, withdrawing himself from our divine volition, he lost the ownership and reduced himself in servitude. What a change from son to servant. He lost the command over created things. He became the servant of everything. By withdrawing from our divine fiat, man felt himself shaken to the foundation, and he felt his very person vacillating. He experienced what weakness is, and he felt himself to be a servant of passions, which made him be ashamed of himself, and he arrived to the point of losing his dominion. So, strength, light, grace, and peace were no longer in his power like before, but he had to beg his creator for them with tears and prayers. Do you see then what it means to live in my divine volition? To be owner, and servant is whomever does his own will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Give me a second. Before we go to this passage, let's go a little bit into the catechism. You know, when we read these passages about Adam, we have to understand also what the church says about the creation of man, about Adam. And basically you can find that what the church says, the little bit that the church says about Adam in the numerals 374 all the way to 379, and then in numeral 400 also the church talks about the harmony. In 376 the catechism tells us that before the fall, that all the dimensions of men, all the dimensions of men, they were radiating with the grace of God himself. So there was an order. It says that he had dominion over himself, dominion over creation. There was harmony between him and Eve. And then in 400, the church tells us that the harmony in which Adam and Eve were created now is destroyed. And it says that this harmony also with creation is broken and is visible. It says creation has become alien and hostile to men. As it before the fall, there was harmony. Creation was serving. In 399, also the church says that Adam and Eve lost this gift of the original grace immediately, as our Lord says, by withdrawing from our divine fiat. So this is the way they lost this harmony, by departing, as our Lord says in this passage, by withdrawing from our divine fiat, man felt himself shaken to the foundation. And he felt his very person vacillating. Now he experienced weakness. Now he becomes a servant. He feels the passions and everything. So it is by departing from that union in which he was placed. I want to mention this passage of the Catechism because for some people who are who may not be familiar with the Catechism, this section of the Catechism, and then they read the Book of Adam or this section, it can be a little bit confusing for them, or even if you find even priests, if they tell you, well, those writings, they are not approved and they are not in line with what the church teaches. I'm just showing to you all of this so that you have some foundations and you understand, because the purpose to read these passages also is to catechize ourselves. And what catechesis is, it really is instructing ourselves. So when we are reading the Book of Heaven, we are instructing ourselves, we are catechizing ourselves. And we have to read these writings in light and in union with what the church teaches, trying to understand the teaching of the church and these writings together is important, so that we don't make other kinds of interpretations that are not in line with the doctrine. So when we read these passages, we are catechizing ourselves. So basically, this is a catechesis, catechetical instruction. Now, all this language that our Lord uses in these passages, referring to Adam, this language is the language of the church. We see that before, this is the first time in private revelation, I guess, that our Lord speaks about the state of Adam before the fall. There is another revelation given to Maria Valtorta. I have mentioned that before. The gospel, as it was given to me, the 3 years of ministry of our Lord Jesus, basically beginning with the birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then ending with the Assumption of our Lord Jesus. And in that revelation, there's a private revelation also. There is a little bit that our Lord talks to Maria Valtorta about Adam and Eve in the state of grace and the fall, but this is the main revelation in which we encounter the life of Adam before the fall, so that by understanding what he possessed before the fall, what God gave to him, the gift that he gave to him and that he intended to give to all of us, this gift, to all the human race, this gift. And that it was because, as he mentions this, by withdrawing from the divine will, that he lost this gift. So Adam is the depositary of this gift. That's why through him we lost it. Now, our Lord Jesus is the depositary of the gift of redemption. That's why through his sacrifice, he has gained for us, for all the human race, now the reconciliation with God our Father, and now the process of going back to the possession of this gift begins in baptism for everybody. That's why baptism is important, because it's the sacrament that initiates. It's called the sacrament of initiation. So the life of God begins in the creature. God gives to the newly baptized the gift of faith, hope, and charity, and it's God himself giving himself in virtues in this way. So what he was doing before the fall, as the Catechism says, that he was sharing his life with Adam. Now he begins sharing his life with us through the sacraments. He initiates that. I always give you the example of the Eucharist, that in the Eucharist you receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity. So you receive the divinity of our Lord Jesus in the sacraments, but it doesn't last forever. It only remains with us until the species remain. But once they are dissolved, that presence is gone. Now, in the Catechism, the Church also teaches that in 460, it says that the Word of God, the Word became flesh to make us partakers of the divine nature. So you see in the Catechism, the Church tells us that this original state of holiness consisted in God giving, sharing his life naturally with Adam. That he didn't need sacraments. He didn't need the sacrament of communion. You remember the only sacrament that is given there is the sacrament of matrimony. But he didn't need the sacrament of baptism. He didn't need the Eucharist because he was created in the union, in that union with God's will. So he was communicating his life at every single moment with him. He was always receiving and always growing in the capacity, always growing according to his capacity as a creature. And God was always giving and giving every time more and more, always double and redouble and redouble, because the creature was growing in that likeness. So God was sharing his life, himself, with Adam. That's why now that we experience the reconciliation through the cross of our Lord Jesus, he begins that process of sharing himself again. And in baptism, that begins, initiates. And God initiates giving himself to the newly baptized in faith, hope, and charity. We call them theological virtues because they come directly from God. They are pure gifts. God gives himself to the creature. And then we become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. So that life begins growing in us. And as we receive the sacraments, we receive that grace, right? But now, in the beginning, God intended for the human race to possess this gift so that he will be able to share himself, that divine participation was supposed to be naturally, because it was interrupted by withdrawing from the divine will. We needed a savior. We needed a reconciliation. So that's why the incarnation. And the church, again, the church expresses this in the Catechism in 460. It says, the Word became flesh to make us partakers of the divine nature, so that we may be able to receive now again that sharing, that divine sharing that God wants to give. God wants to share his life, his divine life. So now the sharing of this divine life begins in the sacraments, through the sacraments. And now that we know how to go back to surrender our human will and to offer our will to the Lord, so that now that divine Participation becomes natural in every one of us. This is what God designed since the beginning. This is the way we were supposed to function. So we are running in a dysfunctional way, in an incomplete way. And unless we learn how to operate in this way, then we will not be able to be configured to Christ in the way we are supposed to be configured. We are not going to be able to become one of the many. We are not going to be able to reproduce that image of Christ in us, as the Catechism is asking us to do in 381. One of the things that the Catechism is telling us, that I always tell the people, that the Catechism is telling us what to do. The Church, through the Catechism, tells us what to do. But now, through the Book of Heaven, we know how to do it. So the Book of Heaven is the how to do it. It's the manual of how to do it. And then the Catechism is what we need to do. In this passage, when our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta that the divine will was united with Adam, that God felt so much love for his son, just telling him, I love you, I love you. And that Adam, naturally, he answered back, he corresponded, I love you. How sweet was for God to hear the sound of his son saying, I love you. And Adam being wounded and God being wounded with that love. It was eternal love. It was uncreated love. And this is what God deserves, uncreated love. And unless we are united with his will, we're going to be given our human love, which doesn't satisfy God. And the way to be able to give this divine love, to give divine love to God, is by going back and entering into his divine will. Adam, he withdraw from the divine will. We are supposed now to enter, to offer ourselves, to give our will so that he can operate in this. So in a way, it's very simple. And the Church again tells us that Christ is able to repeat his life in us, everything that he did. But this is the how he is able to repeat it. This is the how. Here we find how we are able to let our Lord Jesus repeat his life in me. And by him repeating his life in me, I am able to be configured into another Christ. He himself will reproduce his image in me, in each one of us. And then I'll be able to become one of the many that the Church is talking about in 381 in the Catechism. Then this is the way to become living host. Because at every moment we have that presence, the divine will operating in us. And this requires faith to believe that if our Lord Jesus is saying this, it will happen to all of us. This requires faith to believe that this private revelation doesn't come from Luisa Picarreta. These are not the words of Luisa Picarreta. She's only the secretary. She's only the instrument, and that's her mission, to be the instrument. She's the depositary of this gift, so that we, by reading what she received from our Lord, we may learn how to operate in this way, because our Lord wants to repeat his life in each one of us. What he was doing in his humanity, he wants to repeat it in each one of us. What the divine will was doing in the Blessed Virgin Mary by grace, the Lord wants to continue that in each one of us. And what Luisa learned to do, the Lord wants us also to learn to do the same. Unless we learn how to operate in this way, we will not be able to really say that we are free, because we are always operating with our human will, and the human will by itself, operating by itself, is only able to give human love, limited love, imperfect love, imperfect acts. It doesn't matter how pious and good acts we do. If they are not united with the will of God, they will always be imperfect, because they are the acts of the creature. And I'm not saying don't do these acts. I'm just saying that compare the human acts compared with the acts done in the divine will, basically there is no comparison. Now, our Lord mentions this in other parts of the Book of Heaven. I want to go a little bit into the Bible. In the Gospel of John, John 14, 18, this is what our Lord Jesus tells his disciples. He says, "I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will also live." So the Lord doesn't, he tells the disciples that when he's promising the Holy Spirit, and he will not let the disciples desolate, the church desolate alone. Remember, we are the church. All the baptized are members of the church. And the Holy Spirit is the one that guides the church. Our Lord Jesus has entrusted his church to the Holy Spirit. And through the sacraments, we receive the grace that we need, sanctifying grace through the sacraments. But as we read these passages concerning the life of Adam before the fall, we have to understand also that this is not the whole thing, that the sacraments and what we have is not the whole thing. All of this is a preparation for us to receive what we lost. The sacraments, they dispose our souls. When we read the Book of Heaven, we dispose our souls. The more we grow in virtue, we dispose our souls for the Holy Spirit to operate more and more and more in us. Because remember, basically, before the fall, the Holy Spirit was operating freely in Adam, because there was complete harmony, no sin. There were no brokenness. Now the process of repairing begins in baptism, and then we have to work with the grace of God. And the final end is to arrive to the possession of the gift of God operating in us. That's the final end. That's the final end, is the entrance of all the creatures, right, into the perfect unity of the Blessed Trinity. That's the Catechism 360. So the end of all of us is to enter into the perfect unity with the Blessed Trinity. That's what the saints experience in heaven. Each one of them, according to their own capacity, they are already immersed in God. They are already there. They have entered into that unity with the Blessed Trinity. But they cannot multiply their acts anymore. They cannot receive more merit or any merit. We, through these writings and through the understanding that we receive from the Book of Heaven, particularly through these passages concerning the life of Adam before the fall, then we have these writings that they teach us how to enter into that unity, how to initiate that here, how to begin using our will. We begin that process here. Of course, it begins in baptism. But by giving up our free will at every moment when we get up, doing our prevenient act, when we are doing our activities, offering up ourselves, uniting ourselves with the Lord, doing our actual acts, then we are doing our part. And the Lord will do the rest. In reality, this way of living is very simple. Sometimes we try to make it so difficult. But you stop and think, it's very simple. What took us out from that unity was the human will. And it is through the human will that we have to go back. In John 17:3, the Lord says the following. He says that eternal life is to know the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom God sent. This is eternal life. So we can say that eternal life then, according to the words of our Lord, consists of knowing God and his son Jesus. This is what the saints, they do in heaven. They praise God and they know God always more and more, something new about God, each one of them according to their own capacity. And they will never be able to exhaust God because God is infinite. And you will never get tired to know something new about God. And the saints, they don't get tired. At every moment they are, we can say, as using the words of our Lord Jesus here, they are in rapture at every moment, in ecstasy. And God participating that divine life, God sharing that life with them, again, according to their own capacity. So they are in rapture forever, learning more and more and more and more and more. So if you are planning to go to heaven, I don't know about you, but that's what I'm planning to do. You might as well begin living that life here. Begin knowing. That process of knowing. This is what our Lord Jesus says, and this is eternal life. What's eternal life? That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So this is the life of heaven. This is again what the saints do. They forever they will know more and more and more something new about God. That's why it's so important for us to develop that capacity to receive, because once we are called by God, the soul is not able to expand anymore. It's only here that the soul is able to expand. In John 15, the Lord tells his disciples too that now he says, I no longer call you servants. Now I call you friends. We fall into that state of being servants. The Lord mentions that here in this passage, that as soon as Adam departed from that union, we became servants, slaves. And we can experience that. He mentions in the catechism mentions that immediately when Adam departed, he immediately lost that harmony, and we experienced that disharmony in ourselves. All the concupiscence, which is inclination to sin. But our Lord has reconciled us, again going back to the Catechism 360, the purpose for his incarnation was to make us partakers of his divine nature. And this is the way we become partakers of his divine nature. Once we learn to operate in this way, so that this should become natural for us. Sometimes we used to say as a second nature, but it should be our first nature, operating in this way. So that's the challenge for all of us. And as you can see, as our Lord mentions in this passage, by losing that gift that God gave to Adam, a free gift, by losing that gift, he lost the strength, he lost the grace, he didn't feel the power, he didn't feel the strength, he experienced the opposite. He went from being a son to be a slave. That's why our Lord mentions this in the gospel team. Because we fall into slavery of sin. Basically, we became slaves of our human will. We are slaves of our human will. So everything that our Lord has done in the Gospels, everything that he has done in his humanity is to redo us, basically, to repair us. Let's try to go to the letters. One of the letters, if we have time today.
Letter number 10.